Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
All pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air, broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. Bob Kelly and Andrew, we're glad you're with us. Opening segment sponsored every day by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Great supporters of Southern Miss and a great place to take your family for dinner tonight. Got a good show for you. Jeff Cook is a former baseball player at Southern Miss, now the CEO of Forest General Hospital, and he'll be joining us a little later in the show. But right now we want to go to Eugene, Oregon, and that's where we find track and field coach John Stewart, one of our very favorite guests on the Eagle Hour. And coach, you got the two youngsters tonight competing in the national championships out in Eugene. Congratulations. Once again, you're kind of leading the pack here and getting national attention for Southern Miss track and field.
Well, I got some great athletes here. You know, Kelsey Singleton, he's from Madison, up around the Jackson area. He is he's competing in the 400 meters, and DeAndre Ward from Brandon, Mississippi. He is he's competing in the long jump. So I'm excited to see what they do tonight. So they're ready, and we did a little shakeout this morning, and we're ready to go.
John, I mean, it seems like, gosh, almost every year, if not every other year, you always have a jumper that finds their way competing for a national championship. Why is that? How do you do it?
Well, you know, it's just, you know, we're playing money ball all the time, it seems like, in track and field. You know, we're just trying to find the events that we're going to be able to make the biggest impact in. And, you know, it's been the high jump, and we've got a lot of jumpers now because, you know, Mississippi has had a lot of good jumpers coming out of high school, coming out of the junior colleges, and so we've been taking advantage of that. Of course, I'd like to have the fastest guy in the nation, but if one of my coaches comes to me and says, hey, I got a really, really good jumper, and they really want to come to Southern Miss, and they love this place, and hey, I'm going to sign them. So, you know, I don't know if it's dumb luck or just it's strategy, but it's, you know, a little bit of strategy, really. But we just seem to have somebody really good every year. So I just know where to find them, I guess. I guess that's my claim to fame, know where to find the good jumpers.
How do you like each of their chances? One's competing in the 400-meter dash, and like I mentioned, the other in the long jump. Just kind of tell us your feel on it right now.
Well, you know, DeAndre is he goes in as the ninth seed at the national championships. He finished second in the East region, and I think he's got a great chance. I mean, if he just does what he's done in the past at some of the other meets he's gone to, then he's probably going to find himself in the top eight, and that'll earn him All-American awards. Kelsey has just kind of come on late in the season here, and he's kind of just an outside dark horse to make it to the national meet, and he defeated some pretty good guys. He beat the indoor national champion, the 400, to make it here. So he's in good shape. He's ready to run. He's got a tall task, but he's got to just be ready today. If he's ready today and at that moment, then good things are going to happen, and he might get to run in the finals on Friday.
And I read Kelsey has broken the school record for the 400. Do you think for him to get to the final, he'll have to do something similar again?
Well, yeah, he's going to have to, because these guys are running world-class times. The guys that you see in the Olympics every 4 years, these are the same guys that are going to be representing their countries or representing the United States. So Kelsey's got to battle some world-class athletes here. And he's on the cusp of being world-class. When you get in the 45-second range, it's pretty darn good. I think he's got a shot. And we're just going to, go out there, and he's going to run as hard as he can and just see what that brings us.
Coach Stewart, I know that a lot of other sports, people who follow other sports know how you get to a national championship, especially, the baseball, the regionals, the super regionals, and then the College World Series. Educate our listeners as to how any of your athletes qualify for nationals. What process do they have to go through?
Well, first off, you have to be top 48 in the East region. That's like the Mississippi River all the way over to the Atlantic Ocean, basically from Maine to Miami is the East region. And you have to be, once you're the top 48, you get to go to the East region. You have to be top 48 in your event. Then you go and you compete two rounds at their East region meet, and if you're top 12, then you get to go to the national meet. So 12 from the West and 12 from the East go in each event, and then you just compete. They do two rounds here at the national championships, and if you make it to the final round in your top eight, then that's gets you first team All-American. And it's a really, really tough way to qualify for a national championships. We only take about 3.5% of the athletes in track and field to the national championships, so it's really difficult. You got to be really elite. It's just like grade school. When you start running the 50-yard dash at field day, the fast people just keep on running. The people that get beat, they kind of fall off into other sports, but the fast people just keep running. So you keep winning, you keep running, and that's kind of where we are now. These guys have been really fast throughout their lifetime, and they can jump far, and so now it's brought them all the way to this point in their career.
So both of our guys are going to compete today, but there will be different heats, so to speak?
Yeah. They're both competing today. Andre's, this will be the final for him. So he jumps, and if he makes it to the top nine in his event, then he gets three more jumps. Kelsey will compete, and if he makes it to the next round, he's got to be top two in his heat. So anybody that's able to watch it on ESPN+, he's got to be top two in his heat, and then he gets to run again on Friday in the final.
Coach, you said both these kids for the Jackson area, they're a long way from home. What is this experience like for these kids when they get this opportunity, which is a lifetime opportunity?
Man, they are so excited right now. I mean, the place is beautiful. It's an amazing stadium. We don't see anything like this throughout the year. It's the same distance as every other track we run on, but it's just a great environment. There's a lot of track savvy fans here in on this side of the country, and they're just amazed that they got different looking pine trees and they got some different looking animals out here and things like that. But it's a beautiful place. You got mountains in the background, and they're just in awe of it right now. But they've got to enjoy this moment. And I want them to take all the pictures and have fun, but I also want them to, get down to business and let's get ready to run. And I think they're pretty focused. So we've already done all the pictures and, pointed out all the things that we don't have in Mississippi that they have here. And now it's time to run. So I think they're really excited. They're ready to go.
And for the listeners, you can watch Kelsey Singleton's race on ESPN tonight at 7:40. But Coach, I wanted to ask you, I think a lot of people here like to go to Omaha, Nebraska for the College World Series. I think just below that on my bucket list of college events is to go to the college national championships at historic Hayward Field, which it's kind of weird to call it historic since they put those massive renovations for the World Championships a few years ago. But what's that venue
right
like? What can you kind of tell people about the experience at Eugene?
Oh, man, it's like no other experience you're ever going to find in track and field. It's fun. I think just little stupid things like, hey, they have the most comfortable seats you've ever sat in. You got movie theater seats to sit in to watch a track meet. The whole stadium is green, so it's kind of that's different. You don't see that every day. We're used to going to other stadiums where they got metal bleachers, but just the pomp and circumstance and just the different teams that are there. You get to see everyone for the different schools around the country. It's just a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. It's kind of awe-inspiring. Kind of wants you to, you know, get you fired up about seeing the Olympics in another 4 years. So, but it is, it's really something. The weather right now is really nice. It's about 70 degrees, so it's going to feel pretty good. And that's something that we're not used to. We're used to 95 degrees and humidity right now. And so we come here at 70, and it actually feels really good. So hopefully the guys are feeling good for tonight. And I think they're doing pretty well. And I think they're going to perform real well today.
All right, Coach. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. We all admire the wonderful job you do in leading the track and field program at Southern Miss. And I know that you'll keep working hard, and this won't be the last time we have our athletes out there at the national championships. Good luck to both those young men.
All right. Well, thank you so much, guys. And we'll perform tonight at 7 o'clock. Okay.
We'll be looking. Coach John Stewart, everybody. Andrew, you said that in my office. He really flies under the radar, but he does as good a job as any coach at Southern Miss.
Most consistent program on campus. No ifs, ands, or buts. I mean, it's baseball, and they're right there.
You're right. All right, we'll talk a little bit about baseball. Another Eagle is in the transfer portal. Is that right?
That's right.
We'll have that next.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, our thanks to John Stewart, track and field coach, and best of luck to DeAndre Ward and Kelsey Singleton. As we said, everyone should be really proud of the track and field program at Southern Miss. They are consistent winners, and John Stewart has just really done an exceptional job, I think, since he got there. This segment sponsored by Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street, where you can buy all your Southern Miss apparel and say hello to Miss Kathleen, and she'll even show you the Kelly Center corner. And she's got one over there for you.
Not many people need 5, 6, and 7 X's, but if you do, she can take care of you there.
You can hear Kelly say that again on the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast later tonight.
Don't deter people, Bob.
Yes, just self-defecation. I don't know. Never mind. Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube. Or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talkie. You know, they sell tents out at MCS Home Center in Bellevue, 7329 US 98 in Hattiesburg, and little seamstress work, and man, you could get a whole new wardrobe.
This is a radio show, but he's looking at me the entire time he's talking about that they sell tents at MCS Home Center. Yeah, I'm already a little self-conscious about my size and my weight. And Andrew talking about me getting therapy yesterday, and Bob picking on me about my size today. I'm the next bridge jumper.
Husky.
I'm the next bridge jumper. Although if I jumped in the river, I'd flood the valley.
Well, now you could go to MCS Home Center. They have a lot of lawn and garden supplies, building supplies for your house. And you could grow a garden. with you get everything at MCS Home Center you need to grow a healthy garden, Kelly.
Yeah, meaning a diet. Go on a diet. That's what you're saying.
No vegetables,
I know what the subtext
and fruit
is.
And yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Andrew, you want to jump into this conversation?
Not like Kelly into the valley.
All right, Andrew, another Golden Eagle in the portal. Should we be worried?
Yeah, so it's, well, no, but yes, okay. Another Eagle in the portal. Okay. Cal Culpepper has hit the portal. He is now the second Golden Eagle to hit the portal. I don't want to say expected it, but it doesn't surprise me. You know, he had that great game against Mississippi State to start the year, and then his next three outings were just not very good, and they kind of shut him down completely. He's just a redshirt freshman, so they've lost two arms now. And, you know, they are bringing in, I think, like eight pitchers from the freshman class, and then they do have one junior college transfer from Pearl River. But again, I think a lot of what they're going to do in the portal depends on what happens in the draft. Because if you can keep Landon Payne and Kobe Island or some variation of that, do you need as many arms in the portal that you
If you
think?
Keep Landon Payne and Kobe Island with all the returning players, I mean, I just think they're not going to miss a beat. I think they could be better next year than they were this year.
It's possible. But we have to wait and see. You know, I do think Southern Miss – the NIL and the collective are going to make it hard for them to leave, I think, at the very least. I know they did the last time, and, you know, their resources have only grown in 1 year. So maybe they make them an offer they can't refuse, you know?
That'd be a good deal.
Was that an Italian accent?
I think it was.
Some of his people down there in New Orleans. Yeah.
I've got a quarter in me, thank you.
You know, and okay. I'm wondering too, and I know this is a Southern Miss show, but with the transition of power, so to speak, up at Mississippi State with O'Connor coming in from Virginia and all these Cavaliers coming now to Starkville, you have to wonder if some of those guys from Mississippi State might not be putting feelers out.
I kind of wondered that myself. You know, I talked to a big Mississippi State supporter yesterday. We had a long conversation, and he's not, you know, he's 40-ish, 50-ish, so he's not old, and he expressed the same thing you and I. He just says it's just distasteful for, you know, for Virginia, half of their baseball team to be coming to Starkville. You know, why can't we recruit kids from Mississippi and recruit, he basically said, like Southern Miss. I don't know. I don't have an answer to that, but
well,
isn't that the world we live in now?
Well, you know, it's happening with Duke and Virginia right now too.
Correct,
but,
right.
You know, I do think, and we kind of saw it with Lemonis, and yeah, Lemonis went after some of the top Mississippi kids, but, you know, I think State is, at least they think, and I think it kind of will be with Brian O'Connor regardless, is, you know, they tend to think, or I guess should, whatever terminology is best, but, you know, Brian O'Connor is going to go national for his recruiting. They feel that way. I mean, they've won a national championship, but, you know, and Ole Miss is kind of guilty of it too. I mean, they kind of take for granted the talent in their backyard, and, you know, the last couple of years, Southern Miss has definitely out-recruited Mississippi State on the trails, although MSU was going to have a very good recruiting class coming in this year, but who knows what happens with that now with the transition of powers. And, you know, Bianco's kind of done it, but he also kind of, you know, he might take one or two or three of the top kids in Mississippi, but then, you know, he hits it national, and I mean the pickings have been for Oz, it seems like.
Here's two great examples, Cook and Monastery, both from the Jackson area. There was a time, Andrew, that Southern Miss would not have been pulling the best players out of the Jackson area. They would have gone to Starkville or Oxford, but those days seem to be in the past now.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's interesting, and, you know, they don't really do the, you know, if a MSU or Ole Miss kid hit the portal, they don't really go after them. I mean, they're built on building company men, and, I mean, it's worked out very well for them so far.
Correct.
So, yeah, I'm interested to see what kind of happens now with Brian O'Connor, at least in the recruiting landscape, because I think it could help Southern Miss even more so. But also they did keep, you know, the interim coach at Mississippi State, and so they do have a finger in it. So.
And Andrew did point to the fact that the Duke coach has left to take the Virginia job.
So the dominoes continue to fall.
So you're
going to
have Duke players transferring to Virginia and Virginia players transferring to Mississippi State.
And it's not that Mississippi State guys couldn't be company men, you know, but But again, Southern Miss is considered now a contemporary to Mississippi State and Ole Miss, and not a little brother, so to speak. So to Andrew's point, yeah, there might, even if guys from Mississippi State enter the portal, they might not be good enough.
That's
or
right.
Play a position that Southern Miss is really in need of.
Tell me if you guys buy this. This same gentleman yesterday, and let me just say he's a nice guy, okay? We started to talk about the opening football game, and he said to me, and I want you guys to comment on this, if this is BS or you tend to agree. He goes, we're not talking about baseball. Baseball, Southern Miss is Mississippi State's equal in every respect. We're talking about football. And with the money that we spend on football, if they don't come to Hattiesburg and win by two touchdowns, there's going to be a lot of grumbling in Mississippi State about who the new head coach is.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
You agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to put that on Jeff Lebby because it's only year two. But now with the portal, the leash is significantly shorter than it used to be. You know, you used to say, give a coach 3-4 years, build
Correct.
The program.
Right.
But with the portal now, especially with, you know, SEC money, that's really not the case anymore. I mean, it's a year, two tops, maybe. I mean, and if you and they were pretty abysmal last year. And if you open the year losing to a team, regardless that Southern Miss is they are a completely different team in every way possible almost. You still go in there, lose to them on the road, a team that was 1-11 last year. It doesn't matter if they win 10 games. I mean, it is an awful, awful, awful look.
Kelly, you agree with that?
I do, because Mississippi State, you know, Southern Miss is going to have that new car smell for probably about a year and a half. Well, Mississippi State's already, they're already in that league, right? And they're in the second year of their rebuild. So you're looking at everything on paper, State should be a two-touchdown favorite.
I have a completely unrelated note that I wanted to point out that I know Bob will enjoy. So this is back to the baseball transfer portal. So Liam Doyle, who was the perfect game national pitcher of the year, J.B. Middleton, by the way, first team All-American, perfect game snubs Jacob Morrison of Coastal Carolina, not even a first, second, or third teamer.
What?
And I find it kind of ironic because Liam Doyle, who is the Tennessee pitcher of the year, began his career at Coastal Carolina and then transferred to Ole Miss, and then transferred to Tennessee. So he went to two different teams that never made Omaha, and if he had just stuck at the same team.
He'd have been
team.
Omaha. Yeah.
But, you know, if you're National Pitcher of the Year, I don't know. It's just,
how do you not include that kid?
I think it's a crime, honestly, or somebody didn't do their homework,
and you
which
guys
is possible.
You guys were talking about local athletes, too, and I can't help but think, and I saw you kind of react, Bob, when we were talking about the two track stars for Southern Miss that are in Eugene competing tonight. Both Mississippi guys.
I will say this,
wonderful.
Though.
That's wonderful.
I agree.
I'll say this, and I know John Stewart could probably do a whole show on this, but I know they've struggled with the portal. I mean, it has not been kind to them, mostly because they get kids, develop them, and then other school programs have thrown money at some of their top kids. I mean, that's no secret. I'm sure he would come on the show and talk about it. But
he's mentioned that before,
too. I mean, and that's frustrating for him, and I've always wondered how long can you keep him because, I mean, their facility is not ideal. You know, they don't have lights. They can't practice at night or early in the morning. I guess they could practice early in the morning, but, you know, they don't have a locker room. I mean, it is a lot of things. And, you know, doing what he does is so impressive. But, yeah, getting back to the portal, I mean, it's been brutal in the track and field realm for sure.
Kelly, when we talk to John Stewart, does it remind you of your days running that 4x100 relay?
The times are significantly faster now than they were back then. Back when I was there, we had competitive walking. I don't even know if the Olympics used to have competitive walking.
They still do.
Andrew, I see Kelly as a shot putter. What do you think?
I think Kelly should have ran the 2 mile with me.
2 mile?
Yeah.
Kelly doesn't even
3,200.
He doesn't like to drive 2 miles.
Yeah, I'll drive side by side while I'm eating my pizza in my air conditioning.
Jeff Cook played baseball for Southern Miss. He's now pretty big up the ladder.
Making a ton of money.
Forest General Hospital. We're going to talk to him about that, but his thoughts about baseball as well. So,
you're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, don't forget about Be Quick. They're celebrating a big anniversary. Their 60th, actually. And you can stop by the Be Quick Shell Station on the corner of 98 and Hegwood Road in Hattiesburg and receive a free buffalo decal. Place it on the back of your vehicle. Spotters will be looking around for those decals. And if they pick you out, you could win some great prizes like Saints football experiences, Mossy Oak shopping sprees, Royal Caribbean cruises for four, or a Biloxi offshore fishing trip. They're proud supporters of Southern Miss, and we're glad to have them on the Eagle Hour family. And also want to remind you about our podcast. You can hear it every day, and thousands of you do. Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you could tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Jeff Cook played baseball for the Southern Miss Golden Eagles 2001 to 2003. They went on to play 3 years of professional baseball and was recently announced as the new CEO of Forest General Hospital here in Hattiesburg. We're happy to have Jeff in the studio with us, and congratulations.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm 40 days in, and so it's the proper time to jump on the radio show.
You know, Josh Ock, the pitcher a few years, was called the Ock Nest Monster, right? Well, this is the Cookie Monster. He's the original monster. That's what they called him back in the day.
Is that
right? Yeah, that was my name for years and years, probably growing up, I don't know, from my teens through Southern Miss.
Mm-hmm. The thing that I admired about Jeff's baseball career was, obviously, as he sits here before us today, he's not a very big guy. He's never been a very tall guy. A little thicker back in the day. You've slimmed down. But the great story there is you don't have to be 6'5 and 215 to really do something well on the baseball field. And tell us about what it was about your skill set, Jeff, that Southern Miss at the time really liked, coming out of North Forest High School.
Yeah, that's, it probably wasn't baseball skill at all. There was a little bit of that. But I think what Coach Corky Palmer liked about me the most was that I identified as a football player and just had a little bit of grit and had some intangibles that he could see. He used to tell me he didn't see a lot of baseball, like fine baseball in me, but he saw quick hands or explosive hands. And I always thought that was interesting because I would have, back then, if you put me on a high school baseball field with other players, I would have gone, I had some skill. But it wasn't that stuck out to him. It was just this hand speed, he would say. But I always relied on speed, not being a bigger guy. You have to have something that shows up every day, and so speed does. And then, of course, just I would say an appetite to learn the mechanics, be a student of the game. And then, of course, when I got to USM, that became the only sport I played locked in, and the skills blossomed.
Well, he learned a lot, Andrew. What, three-time Conference USA player?
Yep.
First team?
Helped them host their first regional, which is what I want to ask you about. So I thought it was interesting how you said you couldn't have imagined what Southern Miss baseball has become back then, but what do you kind of remember from that first regional, and I guess how different it was compared to now?
Yeah, so it's really different. I mean, back then they had just built the clubhouse. I think that year was the first year we moved into the clubhouse that was actually at Pete Taylor Park. Prior to that, we were walking across the street from Reed Green. And we'd have the metal spikes on walking across 4th Street. I'll tell you what I specifically remember. I remember that regional meaning a couple of things. One, that you could recruit local talent. I think if you look down the roster of that team, there was a lot of Hattiesburg and surrounding area guys. Cliff Russom.
Who was at Hattiesburg?
Who was at Hattiesburg. Jason Lowry at Peddle. Matt Shepard from Hattiesburg. You had Clint King from Brandon.
Oak Grove was more prominent in baseball back then.
Oak Grove was great, and we had a freshman named Mark Maddox at the time.
He did all right.
He did okay. But I think it did two things. I think it showed that you could recruit local. There was enough talent here to compete nationally. And then, two, I think it opened up the eyes, I guess, of the maybe the coaching staff or the administration that is a great thing to invest in.
So you also played, in the minor leagues before deciding to go the career route. When I talk to people who have achieved at your level, Jeff, about half of them will say, you know what, I really don't even like to talk about those days. That was then. Nobody remembers me. It's not that big a deal. But then at homecoming, I see the other half of the guys who bask in the glory of the old days. Do you fall in either one of those camps?
I would fall right in the middle. Several years ago, I told you I fall in the let's not go back and rehash that, you know, kind of moved on. But I've got an 8-year-old son who's just now getting into baseball, and so those memories are starting to be a little more valuable to me. And I want to share some of those with him. But I was one that loved baseball. You could have put me in a foreign country. So long as I could play, I loved that. Wasn't the glory. Minor league ball is not glorious at all, but you woke up every day with an opportunity to play. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
So if people tell stories about you back in your playing days at Southern Miss, how much of it does your son actually believe?
You know, I don't know that he can quite understand. The first thing that there's a picture of me under the stadium at the field, and he saw it, and it was like light bulb clicked. I'd told him before I'd played at Southern Miss, but light bulb clicked, and it was at the regional, so it's been two weeks ago. And it's just interesting. I don't know that he quite understands that I was a good baseball player. I'm just dad.
Right.
You're just dad.
All right.
I was going to ask, I guess, does it amaze you how much, college baseball's, I think it had a pretty good fan base back in, you know, the 2000s. I grew up a diehard Tulane fan, and I mean, I remember the battles with Southern Miss, and I mean, is it kind of amazing how much, I guess the game itself has grown, but also just the state of Mississippi seems like it's exploded lately.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I think back then, what I remember is that Southern Miss had a kind of inordinate amount of support for the size of the community we have. But I think what that was a testament to was we had great high school baseball, and so it just was kind of translated over into, you know, let's go watch on a Sunday afternoon the college guys at the Pete, and of course they put a good product on the field, and so it grew and grew. Today, you talk about the three, you know, universities in Mississippi. At any point, those teams can make a run, right, and can compete with anybody in the country.
So here's a kid from North Forest High School, just north of Hattiesburg, and with all due respect, a little bit in the rural part there in North Forest County, in the booming metropolis of Eatonville.
They did have one of their best seasons in 10 years.
This year, they did. The Eagles are back. But you take over now as CEO at Forest General from a guy named Andy Woodard, who, ironically, played baseball at Southern Miss and graduated at North Forest High School. What are the odds of something like that happening?
Yeah, well, on the application, you have to fill out for the job. You have to. There's a qualification. You have to live in Eatonville, okay, or have grown up in Eatonville, and I can check that box. It's unusual. I will say that the job itself is one where you have to have some, let me say, outside experience or have been exposed to some things outside of the local community, right? Healthcare is big. For me, I took some time right out of law school, went to Nashville, which I'd call the hub of healthcare. I mean, a lot of healthcare corporations are there. A lot of healthcare law is done there. Transactionally, when hospitals are sold, most of that's going on in the state of Tennessee. That's how I kind of cut my teeth. Andy's story is a little bit different than mine, but what's so interesting is that because you need all of that, it's just very coincidental that there's two guys from Eatonville that have found their way, you know, back to Hattiesburg with some of that experience, you know, to come and lead the organization.
Because your degree originally was in architectural engineering.
Yeah, that's a funny story. I wanted to be an astronaut out of high school and thought, well, if I play baseball, I've got to go to Southern Miss. It was the scholarship that I had. What would relate maybe to being an astronaut? And it was engineering. 2 years in, it was mechanical engineering. 2 years in, they disband the mechanical engineering program. I jump over to architecture. And then have to kind of find my way through law school and then kind of where I'm at now.
You never would have ever seen that happening.
No.
Back then.
Not ever.
And athletes, too, I don't know how much time we have left, but you said that your son now, your 8-year-old, is kind of getting into baseball. It's all like travel ball now. And you see these parents that are way over the top, Jeff. The easiest players that I have ever coached to deal with, the easiest players I've ever had to deal with, have had parents who come from baseball backgrounds. How will you approach your son's baseball career?
We are just getting into that. It's going to be very methodical and very relaxed. We are not going to be traveling all over the state and trying to win rings. I think there's a place for that, and we're starting to get involved in some of that. But more so, just the love of the game. We want to make sure we love the game and are a little bit diversified. Let's play more sports than just baseball.
And that's what Corky Palmer, he liked those guys that played football.
And we're talking to Jeff Cook, former baseball player at Southern Miss and now the CEO of Forest General Healthcare. We're going to continue our conversation with Jeff right on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, welcome back. We're going to continue our conversation with Jeff Cook here just momentarily. This segment sponsored by DBAT on Hardy Street. DBAT, a great place to take all your children for baseball and softball training, and they find expert advice there. Great camps. Got a pro shop. All sorts of reasons to go to DBAT, and we're very fortunate to have DBAT in our community. Also want to thank the Pine Belt News. That's a great place to stay informed, your go-to source for news and sports coverage in the Hattiesburg area. You can also explore their other publication, Signature Magazine. And again, a big thanks to our good friends out at MCS Home Center in Bellevue. Kind of joking with Kelly earlier in the show, but it is a great new business. Yeah. And Hank Lott's a wonderful guy. And a staff of local people, Kelly Center, that really want to help you when you walk in the front
door. If you use it in, on, or around your home, I'm telling you, they have it at MCS.
All right, Jeff Cook is with us, former baseball player, of course, at Southern Miss. But I want to talk to you about something else for just a minute, Jeff, and that is the health institution, Forest General, that you now run. And having moved here a number of years ago, back here from the Delta, I think it kind of gives you an appreciation for things that maybe people have lived their whole lives in a community take for granted. I think it's hard to overemphasize how fortunate all of us are here to have the state-of-the-art healthcare and the dedicated healthcare professionals that we have at Forest General.
Yeah, that's true. I think for the size of our community, we have a fabulous. I mean, really, it's kind of hard to conceive how it came together. With regards to the hospital, the services the hospital provide, but on kind of the other side of 28th Avenue, this big, you know, conglomerate that of 300, 400 physicians, specialty physicians at Hattiesburg Clinic, and how we partner that up, it serves not only Hattiesburg well, but really
the whole region.
And it's become a regional it's really become a referral hospital for the region.
For sure. How did it get so big?
I think it's the prior leadership. So Lowry Woodall, who was CEO of the hospital from inception or close to it, you know, through I guess the late 90s, early 2000s, made a lot of hard decisions to grow, bring specialists, invest in equipment, and just really had a vision for what it could be. And I'll tell you, just kind of how we operate today, it seemingly, if you build it or offer it, there's patients that will come and use the services. And he had the vision to do that probably before a lot of other communities could do it. And I think it's just spun into this thing that serves now 19, 20 counties.
Now, you played for Corky Palmer at Southern Miss and then went on to play with the Arizona Diamondbacks and then the Pittsburgh Pirates. You left on your own terms. Jeff, do you remember what happened that made you decide, I'm done?
Yeah, I ended up having shoulder issues, torn rotator cuff and labrum. Interestingly, I had a rotator cuff surgery right behind Drew Brees, like the same day, same surgeon. Very interesting. Drew had this great career. I never could overcome it. I had a hard time getting back to playing. So got Rule 5'd by the Pittsburgh Pirates in 2005. Went to spring training, had the injury before then, it lingered a little bit, but really tore it in that spring training. Had the surgery, tried several years to go back to spring training after rehab, and just was never the same. I was a left-handed hitter, too, and a right-handed thrower, and so that right shoulder injury really hurt my hitting, too.
It's your lead shoulder.
It's the lead shoulder.
As you hit. And I want to ask about the disciplines that you learned in baseball. What are the disciplines that you learned in baseball that has helped you most succeed in the business world?
Yeah, self-confidence. I mean, for sure, baseball, you have to have some internal confidence that you're good enough, right? And then, of course, learning how to deal with failure. Baseball is primarily a game of failure. And I think that piece, those two pieces are very good traits for a leader. The others is to have success at a higher level of baseball, you do have to invest. You do have to be a student of the game. There has to be a level of dedication, and you have to be a good teammate. And I think those two things are, I'm going to call, ancillary traits that are beneficial for me.
And if your son came to you and said, Dad, I want nothing to do with baseball, I'm interested in this answer because I know how a lot of other guys who have walked in your shoes have answered this. But if your son were to say, Dad, I don't want to play baseball. I don't want to be a cook that has to play baseball. I want to play piano. I want to be a drum major, whatever. What would your response be?
I think my response would be, we're going to play baseball.
now that's different.
Yeah.
That's a different answer.
No, it may not be what we're going to do for college, or you don't have to be necessarily on the field, but I do think there's some personal development there that he would gain. Now, there's an age in which I would say my son can make the decision, and I'll trust him that, he knows what he wants to do. Right now, the skills he's developing as an 8-year-old, I think he played baseball all day long.
And the drum major's out at any age, right?
I don't see him being a drum major.
First of all, thanks for coming. Second of all, congratulations. The hospital's got great leadership, and we look forward to having you back on the show soon.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, Jeff Cook, everybody. Former Golden Eagle and now the CEO of Forest General Hospital. Another good story about Southern Miss athletics. Back on the air tomorrow at 1 o'clock. As always, we thank you for listening. Until next time, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at trustcarehealth.com/plus.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.